You are tuning into the True North Church podcast. Our prayer is that you would be inspired and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True North Church, please visit us online at truenorthak.org.
All right, well, welcome, True North Church. How's everybody doing? Yes. Listen, if you're part of True North Church, you are not going to have a boring summer. Okay, we've got a lot going on. You saw the announcements there. It's in the worship guide. There's life groups kicking off next week. Well, signups for life groups are kicking off next week. But one of the most exciting ones for us is that groundbreaking ceremony on June 4th. Yeah, you can cheer for that. If you don't know what that's all about, we have another venue over on College Road that already operates on Sunday with a couple gatherings, but that land is the future home of our preferred future. That's how those two words go together. And we believe not only for us as a church, but really for our community and our city of Fairbanks. And so we want to invite you to join us. It's going to be a fun day. It's going to be a celebration. It's going to be a milestone in the history. So on Saturday, June 4th, come out. We have gold-plated shovels. We're going to do it all official and professional and everything, but it's going to be a significant season in the history and in the future of our church. So, welcome, everybody. My name's Rob. I'm one of the pastors on staff, and I'm excited to be bringing you part four in our series, Thinking for a Change. But before I do that, I want everyone who's here in person to help me welcome. We have an online community joining us for this gathering as we live stream it. So can we welcome those that are joining us online? Some of them maybe just didn't want to get out of bed today. Some of them are out of town and they're joining us. Whatever reason, we're so glad you could join us online and in person. As we look at what does it mean to think about what we think about? And this series, Thinking for a Change, I don't know how you hear that title. You might hear it and go, oh yeah, maybe I should think for a change. Like, as in thinking is the change. Some of you are going, well, I already think, so this series is just going to help me know how to think better and change the way I think. But this series is so important. In fact, I was talking with someone this morning about how I think I don't remember a time in my life where so many people are doing things or saying things, putting things on social media, where you stop and ask yourself, did you think about that? And then you realize the answer is no, they didn't. They didn't think about it. They just did it. And as believers, we need to understand that thinking is so important in our life. The way we think about things, it affects what we do, it affects decisions, it affects so much. And that's what this whole series is about. And today we're going to start with a verse out of Romans chapter 12. That gives us the two kind of ways our mind will think. And so I'm going to read this to you. It says this, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. So we have two options here. We can either be conformed or we can be transformed. And let me give you a very simple definition of those two things. If you are a transformed mind, that means Jesus Christ is the primary source of the way you think. Jesus is the primary way your mind operates based on Jesus Christ as the primary source of how you view God, view yourself, view your situation, all of it. Conformed is that the primary source of the way you think is anything else. Anything else but Jesus is the primary way, your primary source of thinking means you've conformed to that thing. And here is the challenge for us as human beings. We are prone to conform. In fact, they did a study years ago. It's called the Ash Study. That's the name of the guy that did it. It was a social science experiment about how they call it science. The science of conformity. And this test studied it. And so what this guy did is he got seven of his colleagues at university, wherever he was doing it, and he said, hey, you guys are going to know the answer. What I'm going to do is I'm going to bring in a participant. I'm going to put three lines of different lengths on the board, and I'm going to have one other line that's equal to one of those. And I'm going to ask, which one is this the same as, A, B, or C? Now, these lines weren't like really close. They were obvious. There was a clear, correct answer. But he said to the seven people that were on his team, he said, hey, I want you all to pick an incorrect answer and we'll see what the participant does. And so they brought this person in, and the first one said, oh, it's the same as A, when clearly it was not the same as A. The second one, it's the same as A. The third one's the same as A. All the way down, it's the same as A. What do you think the participant said? 75% of the time, they conformed, even though it was so obvious it wasn't A. 75% of the time, they said, it's A. It must be A. These people say it's A. Our mind is prone to conforming to the world around us. Our mind is prone to conforming to what other people say. Our mind is prone. We lean towards conformity more than we lean towards letting God transform our thinking if we leave our thinking just to ourselves. And I remember when I became a believer years ago, and I began to see all the ways in which my mind had been conformed to the world that I'd been living in. I came out of, without going into details, about 10 years, prodigal son story, all that kind of stuff, living in sin and everything. And just, Christ was not in my life. He was not a part of my life. And when I came back to Christ and I began to want to think like Christ, I began to realize, man, my mind doesn't think this way because I've been conformed. I'd been conformed by the people I was around. I'd been conformed by the music I had listened to, by the things I was reading, by the things I was watching, all those things. I had conformed to the way of the world's thinking, and I needed to be transformed by the thinking of God. And we're going to look today at how we do that, how we manage our thinking. Because here's the thing about your mind, it's yours. Okay, that shouldn't be a revelation to you, but so many of us have given over the authority to managing our mind to just whatever. And we need to stop and go, how do I manage my mind so I'm not conforming to the world around me, but I'm being transformed by Christ? You know, oftentimes we pray to God and we say, God, would you take me from this situation? Would you take me out of this group? God, I'm down here with seven idiots who think the right answer is A, but I know it's B. Would you remove the seven people from my life? Right? And he goes, no, but I'll change the way you think. In the middle of that situation, I'll change the way you think. And so often, he's more concerned about us thinking for a change than about just simply changing where we're at in life. And so how do we manage our mind? How do we manage this process? And a quick recap of why this is important. And if you know, this is part four in the series. We've been doing this. Some of the things we've covered, it's important because my thoughts control my life. In Proverbs 4, it says this, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Every day we've got decisions to make. Every day we've got choices to make. Every day we are taking things in, processing them in our mind, and acting on our thoughts. Another reason we must manage our mind is because our mind is the battleground for sin. And we covered this in one of the other messages, and so you can go back and get it. But your mind, there is a battle for and in your mind. And you don't get to just say, time out, I want a time out from this battle, I'd like to get over here and stop thinking. We don't get that choice. We're in this battle. And the third reason that it's important we know how to manage our mind is because it's the key to peace and happiness. And when I became a believer, I began to realize how much my mind was not at peace. How much the conforming to the world, the conforming to what my friends were leading me to, the conforming to what the media and everything was forcing me to, had taken peace from my mind. And I began to go, wait a second, I don't want this. I want my mind to be transformed. But how do we do that? How do we manage our mind? Because again, we're prone as humans to conforming, right? We're prone to getting in the room with seven other people and going, what are they saying? What do they think? And nowadays, we're more prone to that because it's one thing if there's seven people in the room, but now we have social media and there's 7 million people in your room. Right? There's 7 million people coming into your room on your phone going, this is what you should think. This is what you should think. This is what you should feel. Feeding our mind. So how do we not conform to the world, but how do we transform our mind? Well, today we're going to look at three daily choices we must make to manage our mind. And I want you to circle the word daily. I want you to underline it, highlight it, circle it, whatever it is on your worship guide, if you've got your worship guide there and you're following along, because that is so important to this. I wish that 20 some odd years ago, I could have just said, God, I no longer conform, transform my thinking, great, and now I just walk through life, never having to think about another thing. But how many of you know it doesn't work like that? Wouldn't that be so nice, though? If we could just like, hey, I never have to worry about conforming again, but we don't. Because every day we've got to make choices. Every day we've got thoughts. I hope every day you're thinking. If the person next to you doesn't think every day, just give them a little elbow and say, you should be taking notes right now. I hope that we're thinking. We're thinking all the time. Most of us go, I can't turn off my brain. So how do we manage it? How do we manage what we're thinking? How do we manage what's coming into our mind? Well, we're going to look at three daily choices. And the first one is this. I must feed my mind with the truth. I must feed my mind with the truth. It says in Matthew 4, people need more than bread for their life. All the gluten-free people say amen. 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 We need more than bread for our life. They must feed on every word of God. Every word of God. We have to feed our mind. As a new believer, I was coming in after years of conforming to the ways of the world, and I didn't know how to think like God because I didn't know what God thought. And so I spent months in my word, months in the Bible, studying it, going, God, how do you think? What do you think? How do you think about me? How do you think about my family? How do you think about my future? How do you think about yourself? You know, the Bible tells us how God thinks about himself. So we know how to think about God. So we feed ourselves with the truth. We feed ourselves with the word of God. When do we do this? When do we feed ourselves with the word? How often do we do this? Simple answer, all the time. All the time. There was a story that I heard years ago, and you know it's years ago because it involves people writing letters to a newspaper. Okay, so this one week, somebody writes a letter to the newspaper, and he says, you know, I've gone to church for 20 years, and I don't remember one sermon the pastor preached. The next week, someone else wrote in a letter and said, you know, I've been married for 20 years, and my wife has made me dinner every day, and I don't remember every meal, but I know this, I needed it when she made it. And sometimes I think we think, well, I don't need it. I don't need the word of God. I don't need church this week. I don't need whatever. You do need it. And you know what? You might not remember what you read 6 months ago in the Bible, but you needed it at that moment. And you're not reading today going, God, what do I need in 6 months? You're reading today going, God, what do I need now? And we must consume and read the word of God on a daily basis all the time. In fact, it says this in the Psalms. It says, I rise early to cry out for help and to put my hope in your words. And to all of you night owls like myself, we can define early, okay? We can define what it means to wake up early. Early to some use 10 a.m. But the idea here is that first thing in the morning, whatever is early to you, you start in the word of God. It says in another psalm, Psalm 119, Lord, how I love your word. I think about it all day long. So we start with it, and then we think about it all day long. How many of you, when you go to work, start the day with a plan for what you're going to eat for lunch? Right? Hopefully most of you. Maybe some of you brought it. Some of you are planning to go for lunch. How many of you start your day going, I had the word in the morning. How am I going to consume the word later in the day? We should have that kind of plan to say, how am I going to consume God's word all day long? And then this is, for us night owls, this is our favorite. It says in Psalm 16, even in the darkest of night, your teachings fill my mind. Your teachings fill my mind. So when do you consume the word? All the time. Put it in your life. Get it in your mind so you can begin to recognize, hey, I am being transformed because I know how God thinks. And you begin to recognize, wait, that's actually the seven idiots in my life say it's A, but God says it's C, so I know it is C. And we have to know the word of God. So we feed our mind on the word of God. The second thing, the second daily choice we must make to manage our mind is this. I must free my mind from destructive thoughts. I must free my mind from destructive thoughts. So I don't know why I am so opposed to vegetables, but there's something in me that's opposed to vegetables. And for some reason, it comes up a lot in sermons because it's like whenever we're talking about the battle, vegetables are the enemy in my life. And so they just show up. But so here's what I've realized in trying to get healthy, right? Is that I eat vegetables. I take in the good stuff. But it doesn't help if I'm still eating Doritos, right? I can eat a tomato and then go and reward myself with a bag of Doritos. Guess what? I'm not losing weight. I'm not getting healthy. In fact, I'm probably getting less healthy. And how many of us are going, God, I read your word this morning and I'm still sinning. God, I read your word this morning and I'm still believing a lie. God, I read your word this morning and I'm still acting out in anger or greed or selfishness, whatever it might be. Because there's spiritual Doritos held in front of us. And we need to learn to say no to those things. In fact, there's a quote here. It says, you have good intentions to fill your mind with the truth on a daily basis. I've got good intentions to eat a salad on a bed of nacho cheese Doritos. But the intention is good. I want to live the way God wants me to live. I want to know God better. I want to fill my mind with truth. I want to feed on the word of God. But none of that ground is given easily. None of that ground is given easily. Satan's going to fight you on it, and he's going to battle you, and you're going to have to fight to free your mind. Why? Because we have three enemies that are always holding up the bag of Doritos. And I don't know what your bag of Doritos is. That's saying, yeah, you read your Bible, but reward yourself with this. With this sin, with this addiction, with this choice, with this unforgiveness, whatever it might be, those spiritual Doritos are there and they're so good, aren't they? But it's undoing what we're trying to do to get our mind to think like God. And so we have to recognize that. So we're going to really quickly look at three enemies that battle for your mind. And the first one is your old nature. My old nature. It says this in Romans 7. I see in my body a principle at war with the law of my mind, taking me captive to the law of sin that dwells inside me. And I want to highlight that phrase, taking me captive. Sin captivates you so that it can take you captive. Sin captivates you so it can take you captive. Sin does not want the best for you. Sin doesn't want you to be healthy. The Doritos of life don't want you to be healthy. They want you to be unhealthy. Sin wants you to be broken. And our old nature tries to pull us back into that broken place before we knew Christ. So my whole life, I have practiced what I think is a gift. It's called the gift of relaxing. Okay? Some people might call it laziness. I call it the gift of being able to unwind. I'm so good at it, I can unwind before I even start work. That's how good it is. I have been good at this. And you know, my whole life, I had teachers affirm this gift. Every report card. Every report card, the teachers affirmed, oh, he's not working hard enough. He's talking a lot. That's another gift I have. He's not able to focus. They affirmed it every report card. And I have a son now that I have graciously passed this gift on to. And his report cards are the exact same. But when I became a Christian, I heard about this thing called spiritual disciplines. And I thought, oh, disciplines, those are like the vegetables of my faith. But I knew that they were good for me, so I thought, I'm going to try it. I'm going to live a disciplined life. And you know what? I would set my alarm for early, what I thought was an ungodly hour of like 6 a.m. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to set a schedule. This is my life is going to be in this routine. And let me tell you, I struggled for years because that old nature, the gift of relaxing, would rear its head from time to time. And I'd have a couple good months, and then I'd have a couple of terrible months of just not discipline at all. And I was going back and forth on this, and my old nature would come up and show up until I was reading one day, and God highlighted that one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. And I thought, well, wait a second. I have the Holy Spirit in me. I have self-control. And getting the word of God into me set me free from my old nature. See, the word of God is more powerful than any teacher's comments on a report card. And I began to say, hey, this is who I am now. I'm not that old nature. And let me tell you, there's still some Saturdays when old gift of relaxing likes to show up instead of my wife's honey-do list. But I know now, no, I have self-control. I can live a disciplined life. I can work hard because God says I can. But I had to leave my old nature behind. I had to find freedom from what I had been conforming to for years. And so we need to recognize that our old nature. Here's a thought that I think many of us need to think more often. It's this: I don't have to believe everything I think. I don't have to believe everything I think. Think about it this way. Your mind is like the internet. There's a lot of stuff in there, and most of it's not true. Okay, you go online, you're like, ooh, Google said, Wikipedia said. Yeah, it doesn't matter. And oftentimes we have all these thoughts about ourselves, all these thoughts about God. They're not true. You don't have to believe every thought just because you formed it in your mind. Sometimes you have to recognize that thought comes from my past, my old nature. I don't need to think that. I don't need to believe that thought. Romans 8 tells us this: those who are dominated by their old sinful nature think about sinful things. Those who are dominated, and I would say this way, for many of us, we're not dominated by our sinful nature, but there might be, I won't say probably, I'll say might be. There might be an area in your life where you're still dominated by your own sinful nature. It might not be your whole life, but there might be a relationship that's still dominated by old hurts and wounds that have caused a sinful nature. There might be an area of health or of finances where something's happened in the past and there's still those sinful thoughts in that area of your life because your old nature dominates it. It says, if that's the case, then you will think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Can I get a little bit Pentecostal on you here for a moment? I believe that some of you, there's areas in your life where you just need to go and cry out and say, Holy Spirit, would you come and fill my life? Yes. Holy Spirit, would you just come and fill that part of my heart, fill that part of my thinking? Because there's an old nature in there dominating that part of my life, that relationship, that thought, that view of God, that view of yourself, whatever it might be. And you just need to put your hands up or get on your knees or whatever, driving home. Don't close your eyes, but pray out, Holy Spirit, fill me. Yes. Fill that area of my life. Because it says when the Holy Spirit fills that area of our life, we start to think thoughts that please the Holy Spirit. And if there's an area in your life, I want to encourage you. If you go, man, there's an area in my life I can't think thoughts that please God, then ask God to fill up that area of your life. Right. And I promise you, He will. In fact, it says in the Bible that He loves to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for it. Right. And so I want to encourage you that sometimes we just need to say, God, I need more of You in this area of my life so I can think thoughts that please You. The second enemy that battles our mind is Satan. We have an enemy. He doesn't like us. He doesn't want good for you. Paul in 2 Corinthians says this, and he's writing, he's talking about how he's made the choice to forgive someone who's offended him in some way, and he says this, he says, I've forgiven that man so that Satan won't outsmart us. Satan won't outsmart us because I am making a choice to live like God wants me to. And then he says this, for we're very familiar with his evil schemes. Let me ask you this, church. Are you familiar with the devil's plan, with Satan's plan for your mind, for your thought life? Do you know where he attacks you? Do you know the areas that you're vulnerable? Do you know the relationships that he still has access through? Do you know the areas that are open doors in your life because of a lack of forgiveness or something like that? Do you know when he attacks you? I have a funny phrase. I call myself a mountaintop victim. And what I mean by that is, for me, I have to be very careful. If there's been something awesome happen, if there's been something great in my life, I have to be careful at that moment when I'm at the top, because that's when the old, hey, gift of relaxing comes in and I put my feet up and I say, all is good. And then Satan says, is it? I'm vulnerable then. When does he attack you? Does he attack you when you're at your lowest and you go, nothing can be worse than this? And he comes and he whispers, oh, yes, it can. Does he attack you when you're going along the way? The one time he attacks all of us is when any of us stops paying attention, though. Yes. And so if we stop thinking about what we're thinking about, our minds are vulnerable to his attack. Right. And we need to be aware of the schemes of the enemy so he will not outsmart us, but we will outsmart him. Right. And the third thing The third enemy that's battling for our mind is the world's values. The world's values. It says this in 1 John chapter 2. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father. It's not of God, but it's of this world. And those three phrases, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, I think we need to understand what those mean. Not specifically in like, let's list all the lusts of the flesh. We don't have enough time today. But what does it mean that the lusts of the flesh are of the world? I think it means this, that the physical, fleshly appetites we have, when we fulfill them in the way the world wants us to, then it's of the world. I think sometimes we can go, well, anything that's lust of the flesh is bad. And let me just use sexuality. Let me tell you, sex in the context, the way God wants us to do it is a great thing. But the way the world wants us to fulfill that appetite is not. And so it's that we have to be careful. We're not following the world's way. We're not conforming to what the world says is correct about those lusts of the flesh. Same thing with the lust of the eyes, the desires in our hearts. There is a way to pursue the desires in our hearts, and it's in Christ. The desires of our hearts, when we know God, when our way of thinking is given over to God, then the pursuit of the desires of our hearts is good and holy. But when we're not, it's of the world, and it's wrong. I'm going to give you a blanket statement here. The world is wrong. The way of the world is wrong. I'm not saying all your neighbors are wrong. I'm not saying the world's never gotten anything right. But the way of the world does not lead to eternal life. It just doesn't. It's not possible. But the way of God does. And so we need to recognize that the lust of the flesh fulfilled the way the world wants to, or the lust of the eyes fulfilled the way the world wants us to, is not of God. And this last phrase, pride of life, I think that this is understanding the way the world wants us to put ourselves at the center of our world, the center of our life, to go, we're the most important thing. We're the most valuable thing out there. Have you ever seen the movie Nemo? And he's got those seagulls. I think sometimes our hearts must sound like those seagulls to Jesus. Mine, 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 mine. I think that's what we sound like, because our heart wants what it wants. It thinks about us first. I think about myself more than you. I think about myself more than anybody else. That's what the pride of life is. We say, my life is the center of everything. And that doesn't work. God is the center of everything. And I think today you look around there, and again, we live in a culture that is saying things and doing things that looks like they're not thinking about it, and they're not, because they're going, what do I want? I don't think about it. I don't care about it. I feel it. I don't think about it. I don't care about the long-term effects. This is what I feel I need. And it's all about me. It's that pride of life. And again, that is the way of the world. But the way of God says, God, it's all about you. You're the center. You're the center of my marriage. You're the center of my workplace. You're the center of whatever it might be. God, as tempting as those Dorito bags of life are, I will say no to them, because that's not what you want for me. And so we need to be aware that these three enemies are battling for our minds. They want to take control of our minds. They want us to not manage our minds well. And I want to say something. I think that in America, we have a bit of an added challenge in this. Okay, and I'm going to say this wisely, but when I lived overseas for 10 years in a Muslim country, if I came back to you and said, yeah, I got some friends who have three wives, you wouldn't think anything about it. You'd be like, well, of course they do. They don't understand what the Bible says about marriage. They're Muslims. But I think for us here, we need to be careful, because we have a culture and a history so intertwined and built on the values of God, that now I think it's very hard for us to sometimes discern. The line is blurry between what is cultural and what is actually biblical way of thinking. I think this is why so many churches are having a hard time answering questions about the hot topics of the day. And you all know what those topics are. Because we go, well, there's seven other people in the room saying it's correct. And I think those people know what they're talking about. So it must be correct, even though it doesn't feel correct. Which is why we have to feed our mind with the word and free our mind from other destructive thoughts, so we can actually discern and assess, hey, that's just my culture. That's the seven other people. We'll call them people this time instead of idiots. The seven other people in the room with me. But this is what God's answer is. And that answer is the truth. And I think we need to be very careful in America in particular that that line doesn't get blurred, that we confidently know what the Word says and how the Word wants us to think, not just how our culture wants us to think. And the third daily choice, now we're back to the three daily choices. The third daily choice we must make to manage our mind is I must focus my mind on the right things. I must focus my mind on the right things. And this is so important. I talked a couple years ago about this, and to me, it's one of the most fascinating things. I love these studies of how humans think. And let's just be honest, most of the time, we don't think. That's what this whole series is about, that we would start to think. But a couple years ago, I shared this study that had been done, and ever since then, everybody knows I drive a red Subaru. But they did this study, and they were just talking with people, and they were just giving them scientific facts about cars. And they said in there, they said, and did you know that red cars always travel in pairs? And then they said this, no, it's true, look for it. And guess what the people who were looking for it saw? Red cars traveling in pairs. Is it true? No! They didn't see the blue cars that were in pairs or the white cars. They didn't see the red cars that were alone. Why? Because when you tell your mind to think about something, your mind will see it. And it's the same with God. If you wake up in the morning and you say, today I'm going to see God in my spouse. I'm going to see God in my children. I'm going to see God in my workplace. I'm going to see God in my health and my finances. You will see God. If you focus your mind on the things of God, you will see the things of God. This is how our mind works. God created it this way. But we've got to start by saying, I will focus on the things of God. And there's a great passage in Philippians, and it's a little bit long, but bear with me here. Paul puts it this way. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. The peace of God will guard your mind so your mind can think straight, can think right, can think what God thinks in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Or put it this way, focus on those things. Whatever you have learned or received from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So there's four simple things Paul tells us to do here to help us be able to focus our mind on the things of God. And I can't stress this enough. If you focus your mind on the things of God, you will see the things of God. Yes. If I look for the teenager in my son, I will see the teenager in my son. But if I look for God in my son, I will see God in my son. Good. If I look for the reason to be right in my marriage, I will see the reason to be right. But if I look for God in my marriage, I will see God. If I look for God in my health, I will feel stronger and I will see where God is. We need to look. And so Paul gives us four things. The first one is praise. Praise God. Rejoice. Rejoice for everything you know about God. Rejoice for what he's done in your past. God, I've seen you in my marriage before, so I'm going to look for you in my marriage today. God, I rejoice in the things you've done in my kids' lives, so I'm going to look for you in my kids' lives today. I rejoice, God, in who you are. I praise you for who you are. God, I don't really have much to praise you about, but I heard a great story on Sunday, so I praise you for that story. God, I don't have a personal testimony lately, but I read in my Bible that you heal people, that you provide for people, that you take care of people. God, I praise you for those things.
Right.
And then the second thing is pray. Because sometimes you go, oh, I'm praising God for all these things. Oh, here's a couple things that I'm not quite ready to pray to praise God for because I haven't seen the answers yet. So God, I pray for these things. I lift them up to you. I look at them to see you in the midst of my need, in the midst of my hard time, in the midst of my challenge. I pray about these things, God, because I want to see you in them. And then the third thing is to ponder, to think about God, to think about the things of God. And ponder is not just a split second thought. God is good. You know, it's just like, boom, there it goes. To ponder is to sit and meditate. Meditate on the Word. Meditate on the thoughts about God. Meditate on the things of God you want to see that day in your life. Because remember, these are daily choices. And then the fourth thing is to practice what you've been thinking about. In other words, start doing it. Practice loving your neighbor. Practice sharing your faith. Practice having faith for healing. Practice witnessing to people. Practice the things you've been praising God for. Practice the things you've been thinking about. Practice the things you've been focusing on. And you'll start to see those things in your life. You guys, this series is so important. This message is so important, of not being conformed, but being transformed by the renewal of our minds, by thinking like God. And the way we do that is we manage how we think. We think about what we're thinking about every day. And I'll be honest, there's days I wake up and I go, God, can I take today off? No. But every day God says, you don't need to, because I'm here. And if you will praise me, if you will pray into the areas, if you will, ponder the things of God and put them into practice, we will know the peace that surpasses understanding in our hearts and in our minds. That's what we want. The world can't offer that. The thinking of the ways of the world can't offer that, but thinking the ways of God can. Amen? Don't you want to think like that? Don't you want to think like God? Don't you want to come into a decision you have to make and go, I have the thoughts of God? Don't you want to come into a relationship where maybe there's been a challenge there and go, I have the thoughts of God? Don't you want to come into work and look at all the people that maybe are confused and go, I have the thoughts of God? Maybe don't stand up and work and be like, guys, I'm here with the thoughts of God. But you know that you have it because we have the mind of Christ. If we will feed our mind on God's word, free our mind from destructive thoughts, and focus on the things of God. Amen? Amen. Can I pray with you guys? Lord, I thank you for our minds. I thank you that you created our minds. I thank you that you want our minds to work well. And I thank you, Lord, that we have the mind of Christ and the thoughts of God if we will walk these things out on a daily basis. Lord, help us to be able to do that. In your name we pray. Amen.
What a fantastic service. Be sure to stay in touch by following us on social media so you can stay up to date with all that is happening at True North Church.